Morning, everyone. I don't speak very loudly, and it's a strange thing because once upon a time I was in cadets and I was in the Air Force, and when I was in the Air Force, they even wanted me to be a drill instructor. Now, you know, that means shouting at everybody. And I managed to come out of the Air Force and say, I don't want to shout at anybody anymore. So I tend to talk fairly softly. But if you can't hear me, yeah, just wave or something like that. I'll talk softer, and then you'll have to come up closer, something like that, whatever. But nevertheless, I'm very pleased to be with you. I'm pleased that Pastor Chris has asked me to come and speak. I don't know if that will be something that you'll be pleased with, but nevertheless, I'll try not to speak, but rather that the Lord would speak through me and give glory to His name. If you have your Bibles there, Psalm 1 is what we're looking at. And actually, it's not one that I plan to spend time on, but rather just as an introduction to what we'll deal with this morning. I presume that most of us would know the psalm, Psalm 1. And if you don't, it's there in your Bible, and you can follow along, or you can read it with me. I'm reading from the King James Version, and I'm not sure what you're reading with, but somehow we'll just start and get to the end. And the word of the Lord says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Lord, as we would look into your word this morning, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts. May you increase. May I decrease. May your words speak comfort to our souls. May thy name be lifted up. May you be exalted. May we rejoice at the word of the Lord, having found it to be that most pleasant thing that stimulates our hearts and our minds in the way wherein you have called us to go. That we might continually give praise to you as we seek to serve you, wait upon you, give glory unto your name. May thy word go forth this day with great power to the salvation of souls, to building up of the saved in the faith, and to the glory and praise of your name. For we ask it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The title of the message this morning, Which Way? As you know, in this psalm that we read, there are two ways. There's the right way and there's the wrong way, of course. But my thoughts this morning, I wanted us to look into Proverbs. Proverbs is perhaps a book that we don't get into too much because it doesn't necessarily flow along as we think it would flow. But I don't think that's the important thing. I think that which we need to be aware of is the fact that it still speaks, as the whole Scripture speaks, the whole Bible speaks, of the Word of God. And that's the important thing. I wanted to speak particularly to the young people this morning. And there are a goodly number here. And the reason I want to speak to them is because when we look into the book of Proverbs, we see that it's Solomon who wrote the book, supposedly. And I say that because there are debates on who wrote what and so on. Although Solomon, you might say, wrote most of the book or compiled the book to some degree, speaks to his son, even as David spoke to Solomon, "My son." And so we see those words oft-times repeated, "My son, my son." And so I sort of have that young people feeling in me. I don't know why that is, because I'm getting old. And yet I feel a compulsion to speak to young people and to be around young people. And I think the reason is because they have so much life. And I'm sort of on the downward slope. But the situation that young people find themselves in today is a very precarious situation, because there is so much, so to speak, in their world that is a means whereby they may go astray, a means whereby they might be destroyed even. And I don't think you have to look too far or think too much about that, because you see in your newspaper every day. And I live in Brantford, and I don't have to look in the newspaper. I just listen to the news, and there it is. Somebody in Toronto has killed somebody. Somebody in Toronto has knifed somebody. And, of course, we get the Toronto news to a great degree, but it happens in Brantford, too. There is this thing out there that is drawing the young people into destroying themselves. And it's a crying shame, because in reality, it's something that we can't even control. It's something that we can't even take a hold of and say, "Stop! No more!" And I think the reason for that is that which the Word of God speaks to in regard to our nature. Our nature. What we are. And I believe the Scripture says we're sinners. We're sinners. And I don't think we can move away from that factor. That we are sinners. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, the Scriptures say. And consequently, throughout our whole life, we are in a battle against the evil. And I say the evil. D'EVIL. And take the apostrophe out and you get the devil warring against us. And he's not warring against just any old person. He's warring against us, the church particularly. He's working on us. And the one thing he doesn't like is young people coming into the church. young people who are going to be influenced by the Word of God, where the possibility is they will grow in the Word of God and find their lives changed such that they live according to the Word of God. And that could be a mess to his plan. His plan is to destroy. In Proverbs, and I don't know that we need to get into the history and all this sort of stuff, but I think rather just to start to read and see what's some of the things that are in there that point out to us the fact, yes, we're sinners. And even when we come out of sin into Christ, we're going to run into problems. I wanted to look at Proverbs chapter 2, if you have your Bible there. We're going to just read, and then we'll try to glean some things out of there. He says in Proverbs chapter 2, and perhaps I'll just read the chapter down. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice with understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as with hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, that is, from the man that speaketh forward things, or perverse things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Notice, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments. He's saying here, receiving and hiding. I'm talking to the young people. You older ones can tune in if you want, if you got young hearts. Or you can just listen. But he's saying, if you receive my words, hide my commands. Take in and let it abide in there. So that you incline, so that thou incline your ear, you incline your ear unto wisdom. Now he's talking ear. So he takes in and he lets it hide in there, or he stores it up in there such that the ear is inclined unto wisdom. And application then is in the heart to understanding. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge we see are these three words that come up in Proverbs, the first part of Proverbs anyway, to a great degree, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, these three. And I presume that they deal with the type of person that has to hear these words. One being a wise person. The other being a foolish person or a fool. And the other a simple person. If you cry, he says in verse 3, after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, you have to want it. You have to want it. And maybe I can move away from the young people and say to the older ones as well, you need to want it. You need to want Christ, because Christ is wisdom. If you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Why silver? Hidden treasure. These are the things of the world, so to speak, and these are the things that we seem to want to go after, things that will, so to speak, satisfy our natural urges for material things. Silver, treasure, the things of the world. He says, if you want wisdom and you want knowledge and understanding, such as you want the things of the world, you want a good thing. Cry out after it. Search after it. Seek after it. Then thou shalt understand, verse 5, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. What do you mean, the fear of the Lord? I believe the fear of the Lord is just craving to be like Jesus. Just desiring to be like God. To know what He knows. To have the understanding He has. And desire to see that expressed through your life or through my life. We want to be more like Jesus. And so we come into the fear of the Lord. It's not a cowarding fear. It's not a fear that we say to somebody else, well, you don't want to get involved with God and the things of God. Rather, it's a fear that's a reverence for the things of God. A desire that God will reveal Himself to you, to me. Such that if He can reveal Himself to me, and I can go in His ways, then I'll be satisfied. Because going in His way is going in the right way. And in here we're talking, and in Proverbs we're talking, and as you noticed in Psalm 1, we're talking about a way, which way to go. Which way do we go? Well, the wise man will go the way of God. The fool, he's not going to go in the way of God. And that makes him kind of a dangerous person because he's going to be found in the company of godly people. And you want a fool in the company of godly people, you know what's going to happen. He's going to dissuade some who are righteous to turn away from God. The simple person tends to just be wishy-washy, on the fence. not knowing which way to go or what to do, but just sort of following the crowd that goes, that's the biggest, and he just goes with that, whatever way it may be. Which way do we go? Well, for young people, this is very hard because there's the peer pressure and there's the parents. And then there's maybe the minister and who knows who else is saying this way or this way or do this, do that. And that's perhaps why we have problems. The Proverbs, generally speaking, are little stories. Little stories maybe that are maybe even littler stories condensed down to maybe one line. And that line says something like, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Where'd that come from? It's a proverb. And we have all kinds of proverbs. Proverbs just weren't made up back in 2500 B.C. or something, and we get them on down here to this day or in Solomon's day, and they come on down to us, and we repeat them. And we, in fact, we don't repeat them generally. We just tend to ignore them. But a proverb is something that you might see in your everyday life, that your parents might have spoken to you about. The proverb that I saw in the doctor's office said, too soon old, too late smart. Too soon old, too late smart. And I said, I guess that's talking about me. And I guess that's why I have a passion for young people, because I look back and I think to myself, the things I did wrong, the things that I didn't do, the things that just weren't, took up my whole life. Now I'm old. And it's too late. Well, I guess I could say that, I suppose, but not necessarily true, because we know that every moment that we have life, the breath of life within our body, is not too late. We still have the opportunity to proclaim the name of the Lord. I thought that on a hospital bed recently, as you know. I thought to myself, I may not get up from here. What can I say? What can I do? The only thing I could say was, Lord, in life or in death, glorify your name. That's the crux of the matter, young people especially. You don't know what's going to happen. And when some guy drives by and bang, 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 and you're on the ground, it may be too late. But Lord, glorify thy name. While I have the breath of life in my body, glorify thy name. How can we glorify his name? We can, as he says, lay up sound wisdom. In verse 7, he says he's a buckler or a shield, you might say, for them that walk uprightly. So if we can walk uprightly, and we know that we cannot walk uprightly except we walk in the steps of the Master, except we walk in the path of the Lord, that straight way that straight gate, that narrow way, it's straight and it's narrow, very narrow, and it's very hard to walk in it. It's so easy to step off one step, to wander off in this way, wander off in that way. Very easy to do. But if we lay up sound wisdom, if we keep the paths of judgment, then we will come to the understanding that it's not us. It can't be us. We're too natural. We want to do natural things, the things that are natural, the things that, you know, yeah, that's just me. No. It's not just me that I want to be. It's Christ. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be more like Christ. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yes, every good path. Now, in this passage of Scripture, from perhaps there on down, you see this word pathway or way. Just look there in verse 9, the path. In verse 12, the way. 13, the paths. Walk in the ways. Whose ways are crooked. Forward in their paths, in verse 15, and so on. It's talking about the way. And I want to impress upon you, young people, it's the way that you come to an understanding of in respect to your life that we want to have a good awareness of. You find yourself in a church, in a pew in this Sunday morning. Are you here because Mom and Dad said I had to come? Or are you here, because so-and-so is going to be there? Or is it the fashionable thing to do? Or just what is the reason for being here? I venture to say, if you are here because you want to gain a fuller knowledge of the Word of God, to draw yourself into a greater awareness of who God is and what He would have for my life, I would say you're in the right way. There are those who are not in the right way. There's a description here when you go to verse 12. And let's go to verse 11 first. He says, discretion shall preserve thee. And he says, understanding shall keep thee. Oh, why? Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil. Man understood there. From the man that speaketh forward things, who leaves the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the perverseness or the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they perverse in their paths. Wow. A means of deliverance is what you want. And usually, the situation arises that a man displays this evilness and this perverseness because that's the way he grew up. And that's perhaps why I'm speaking to you as young people. I speak to myself. We grew up, or we are growing up in that way. Why? Because we're natural. Why? Because we're sinners. And as sinners, we just don't, so to speak, grow into righteousness. It's something we have to work at. Why he describes our need of wisdom and understanding and knowledge is that we're growing up, and our parents saw a proverb at us like an apple a day keeps the doctor away. What? No, that doesn't work. It is like they say something to us that we take maybe an offense to. And we say to ourselves, can't be bothered. Don't want it. What our parents are doing, what they're saying to us is that you need to be aware that as you grow and as you mature, you're going to run into all kinds of problems and difficulty. And I'm telling them to you right now. I'm telling you about them right now, so that you will be aware of them and be able to deal with them when they come upon you. Well, we can say, yes, I'm aware of them. But the problem is, how are you going to deal with it when it strikes you? When you run into it face to face, when you get near to your friends and so on, and they say, well, do this or do that. Notice what he says in Proverbs 1. Just look in Proverbs 1 in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, verse 10, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, and let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as they that go down to the pit. We shall find precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You may say, well, that's an older person. What do the young people grow into? Grow into older people. And if the situation is such that the correction is not there before they get to be an older person, then as Proverbs says, this is what's going to happen. They're going to say, come with us. And we're going to have a thing tonight. We're going to see what's going down. Hey, we're going to do a little of this and a little of that. Come on with us. Hey, Daddy, don't worry. Come on. I got to tell my mom. No. You don't have time. Come on, let's go. It's very easy under peer pressure to move with the crowd. Move with the crowd. And he says it's not going to work out. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. And pretty soon you find yourself at the end of a knife, or near somebody who is in that situation. And then fear and panic take over, and you don't know what to do. It's almost too late. And why is that? It's because we haven't got the things of God hidden in our hearts so that we know what to do when the situation arises. The problem comes down on us. So many of us as adults perhaps have gone through our lives like that, not knowing exactly what to do when the situation comes upon us. And basically what I'm saying to you is, be aware of it. Now, you can't be aware of it, really, unless you're the wise person. The wisdom and the knowledge of God has come into your understanding such that it's not the way of the evil man. It's the way of Christ. Unless you think I'm picking on the boys, look what he has to say in Proverbs 2 about the girls. In verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Doesn't matter whether you're a man, whether you're a woman. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And the ways of the evil one want to take hold and draw us away. It's not hard if we have not surrendered ourselves to God. We have not come into the revelation of the knowledge of God such that He has revealed to us who He is and what He can do for us in His way. And we have taken that as our understanding of what is needful for us and what we should do. Not only should do it, but do it. So you come to church and you fill up yourselves with the Word of God. You go home and you fill up yourself with the Word of God. And every effort, everything that you venture to do, it's you include God in it. You say, I want to be more like Jesus. And so you crave after Him. You cry out for Him. You seek after Him. I sometimes think to myself, when he says here, the strange woman, in the commentaries, they deal with strange woman in respect to adulterers and adulteresses and whores and so on. And that may be so. But I like to think of it, and this is my own interpretation, you might think, as a strange woman has become strange or estranged because she has not sought after the things of God. And women being women, and men being men, it's a natural thing to do the natural things. Very easy to do. So when the woman blinks her eyes and the guy looks and she winks her eye or she wiggles a little bit or she and we guys go, whoa! Like, yeah, I'd like to know. What then? We exhibit those things wherever we are. Natural. It's the natural man. The natural man that doesn't know the things of God. That man is not a wise man. He's a fool. This is what the scripture said. He's a fool. He does not go after the things of God. He takes care of himself. He thinks he can take care of himself. And he tries to take care of himself until, as the scripture says here, that a dart pierces him through. And he ends up dead. Spiritually dead. And maybe even physically dead. Proverbs is such a good book because it's for my son or for my daughter. And one of the things we don't do is we don't read it very much. Anybody read any Proverbs today? How many chapters are there in Proverbs? 31. How many days in the month? 31. Sometimes 30, whatever. But there's in that can be a source of exploration and understanding and so on. In that, every day you read a chapter. Some of you have Our Daily Bread or some other little book, and you read a little portion out of it every day. Try a proverb. One every day. Maybe you've heard this before. When you get to the end, what comes? A new month. And you can start all over again. One every day. When you finish that month, there's another month coming. One every day. If there's only 30 days, you get a reprieve from the 31st chapter. When leap year comes around, well, you get a couple days reprieve. Now, in the studying of the Proverbs, whether you understand them or not, to begin with, the reading over and over and over and over again will benefit you from the fact that what you missed the first time, you might get the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or whatever. And that's what Proverbs is saying. In order to gain wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, particularly wisdom, because from wisdom comes the understanding. In order to gain the wisdom, you have to go over and over and over again. Or when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you just don't leave it there, right? You just say, I have faith in Christ. No. I have faith in Christ. That's not enough. You might want to dispute with me here. But it's not enough just to have faith. If Abraham just had faith, I don't think he would be in Hebrews. He had faith and he exercised the faith. He listened to what God had to say. He believed God by faith and he moved from there. God had to tell him what to do. And that's where our problem lies sometimes. In that we don't want God to tell us what to do. We want the faith, but we don't want God to tell us what to do after that. I have faith, I have salvation, and I'm in. Right. You think you're in. We have the desire, but faith is enough. We'll just have the faith and we'll move on from there. And when the Lord comes, up we go and everything's great. Until we stand in front of the Lord and He says, so what did you do with your faith? I hung on to it. Right. Lord, I knew you were a hard taskmaster, but I just hung on to my pesos. But here they are. That's not good enough for God. And it's not good enough for you and I. But what we need is to exercise that faith. It is this. We have a neighbor on this side, perhaps, and we have a neighbor on that side, perhaps, and we have somebody back here, and we have somebody up there, and they need the Word of God. And who has it? We do. So what are we going to do about it? Well, why not give them some? The Lord says, share what you got. So, why not share it? Give some to this one, and some to that, and some to this, some to that. Oh, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. How do you know? They may be crying out inside of themselves for something that will take care of their problems and their situation, their difficulties right now. And we say, I've got faith. Share a little bit. Young people, it's difficult dealing with your peers. It's even more difficult dealing with your parents, eh? Yeah. But your peers need to know where you stand. Your parents would like to know where you stand. Your parents would like to know where you stand. They want to have that assurance that whatever may be the situation that you find yourself in, that they have the confidence, they have the assurance that you can handle yourself. Why? Because you've grown in the things of God. And you are growing in the things of God. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding are taking hold. And you know how to deal with the world. Some of us as adults are still trying to figure that out. How are we going to deal with this world? This world getting worse day by day. And you as young people probably have heard us complaining about it. Yet we're not doing anything about it. Perhaps the message then isn't just for the young people. The message may be for the older people too. We need the wisdom. We need the understanding and the guidance, the knowledge that will enable us to do the tasks that the Lord has called us to do. Proverbs. To know wisdom. And instruction to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase hearing, learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Which way? Well, he says at the end of chapter 2 there, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Is it that we want to be wise? Or is it do we want to be a fool? Or even a simple person? I think the way that you would choose is the way of the wise, the way of righteousness, holiness, understanding, the way that God calls us to, and the way that He wants us to walk in. If that's the way that you choose, you've chosen the right way. Amen.